exhaust headers for aircraft, why hot rodding your Bonanza may make sense. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature, and thanks for the download today. In 2009, the American Bonanza Society held its annual convention here in Salt Lake City, and I got to spend some time with an exhibitor whose product has interested me for some time. Powerflow Systems manufactures and certifies aftermarket tuned exhaust systems for a variety of piston aircraft, and the results seem almost too good to be true. At the time, Powerflow was introducing a six-cylinder system for the Bonanza. I got to spend some time with Powerflow General Manager Darren Tillman to find out more about the product's philosophy. For starters, what are these products, and where does the extra power and efficiency come from?
They're basically headers for airplanes, just what people have been doing for years with cars. What we've done is figured out a way to make the exhaust on the engine work for you instead of working against you. Exhausts have been an afterthought for airframe manufacturers. And it takes a good deal of tubing and technology that the airframe manufacturers never needed to apply. They would simply give you a bigger engine, or more correctly, sell you a bigger engine. So it is pretty close to free horsepower. It does have a cost associated with it, but it can provide lots of benefits, typically in the region of 5 to 7 knots more speed for several thousand dollars. And it's a better design than the traditional exhaust because ours is current versus 40 or 50 year old designs that have got all sorts of maintenance and longevity issues.
All right, now the science of exhaust scavenging is not new. I mean, they were doing this back in the 20s and 30s and kind of had it figured out. Sure. Why has it taken this long to adapt it to aircraft?
It's probably taken so long for a couple of reasons. One, it takes a huge amount of real estate inside the cowling to do the right tuning. In our case, take a typical product for the Cessna, it's 14 feet of tubing before you even join the tubes together. It's 3.5 feet per cylinder. And that's a lot. And you have to figure out how to package that inside of a cowling. And not every airframe can fit in. And then it's figuring out, as we have for the six-cylinder, what worked for the four didn't work for the six. And if it's a Continental, it works different than a Lycoming. So we had to invent it. And since no one else had, we didn't have a pathway to follow. So we've had to come up with a package that's both durable, will fit, and produce the performance that we think is an important element of the product.
Now tell us about this particular product, because this is a Bonanza and Bonanza-like aircraft-specific type club show. Yeah. And this is your first product for a six-cylinder. Why did you choose the Bonanza?
It's a great question. For years we've been working on a six-cylinder. We've been doing some R&D on a 182, which is a Continental, but it's a carbureted Continental. And we had some performance improvements, but it wasn't quite in the range that we were looking for. And when we really started looking at it, and as our experience grew with other aircraft engines, we discovered that whether the engine is injected or carbureted, how the induction system is just as critical as the exhaust. So the Continental, you have the injection going on right at the cylinder. So that takes care, as long as you balance the amount of fuel going into each cylinder, you basically have a more balanced input. So that lends itself to tuning. The 182, on the other hand, does not have a balanced input. So just putting a tuned exhaust on there doesn't quite get you there because it has three sets of different engine parameters it's working with. So the Bonanza seemed like the next best case. It's an injected engine. It seems to respond. The market is large enough to where it makes economic sense for us in the time frame we've got. And who couldn't use 5 or 7 more knots or saving some gas? And the Bonanza owners have told us, well, we were interested. So that gave us the guidepost we needed.
Now, I'd like to say that I'd ask you to compare this to other competing products, but frankly, I'm not aware of many. You guys are kind of maybe not completely alone in this, but you're certainly way out there ahead of everybody at this point.
Well, thank you. Yeah, there's a couple of other companies that have been on the fringes working with different kinds of exhaust systems, but we've been the only people brave enough, I think, to get through the challenging FAA certification, and we have 11 aircraft models certified. So we've kind of figured out the pathway, and we've been out for over 10 years. So we have a good amount of experience working with the kind of design that we do. And no, there isn't another truly tuned exhaust available for Bonanza. So no, we're it to my knowledge.
Tell us a little bit about the specifics of the construction of this exhaust system and how you get something that will both fit in a cowl and hold up to the, you know, the varying temperature extremes and everything else that an airplane goes through.
Okay. Well, the first, the materials. We use stainless steel, 321 grade, and our we use a thicker stainless steel, a greater wall thickness, because we want a durability factor. And also, you can't do the kinds of mandrel bends that our exhaust, it's got lots of curves in it, to fit in the tight confines of the cowling. So it needs to be a certain thickness in order to have a good, durable bend made. And that's what it is. It looks like we it's perhaps an LA freeway system as an interchange. But it's us getting the right amount of inches per cylinder together and then combining it. And then, of course, it still needs another 3.5-4 feet before it's ready to come out of the cowling to get the true tuned effect. So it's stainless steel. We utilize slip joints because we know from experience exhausts generally they'll crack because the cylinders are expanding, contracting at different rates. If they're not allowed to move, they make their own freedom of movement. They make a crack. So we give all the pipes their own slip joints and allow them that freedom. And plus, we also utilize a ball joint to give it some flexibility as well. Same design we've had for 10 years, just in a different, slightly different shape.
In a moment, why is the improvement described in terms of speed gains instead of horsepower gains? You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Welcome back to the ANN Special Feature. I'm talking with Darren Tillman of Powerflow Systems about his company's aftermarket-tuned exhaust systems for piston aircraft. The expected improvements are expressed in knots of speed gained rather than horsepower gained. Why is that?
That's a great question. And, you know, we often get the question, have you dynoed it? Well, in truth, we haven't dynoed the six-cylinder. We've done a few dyno tests, and dyno tests only provide you one set of numbers on the ground for an engine that's not even configured correctly for the aircraft. So we prefer to look at it a different way. If you look in the POH and say, okay, POH, you're first off, we're off the charts. Mm-hmm. Maximum possible forward speed in this airplane at one setting may be 160. Now we're going 165. What would the chart say? Well, it doesn't say anything. You can't get there according to the chart. But if you use the different equations, it takes somewhere between 15 and 25 more horsepower to go 5 knots faster at the top end. So we're probably in there. One thing we do know, the brake-specific fuel consumption of that engine, the efficiency, has dramatically gone up. Because you can go the same speed for less fuel or go faster for just a little bit more gas. That tells you the engine is definitely more efficient. And it's because the old exhaust was inhibiting the engine, and our exhaust is designed to let the other cylinders work for the one that's firing at the time to extract the gases out. And as long as you tune it correctly, which we now have, then you can get that effect, and that's a positive effect.
All right, one of the areas that's going to be really sensitive in coming years is noise. I know what happens when I put a set of headers on a 442. What happens when you put a set of your exhaust on a six-cylinder Bonanza?
Well, that's a great question, and you're right, a growing concern. The current version that we are looking at bringing to the market here does not have a muffler. Now, in truth, a truly tuned exhaust has some self-canceling property. Not much, but it does have some. And we believe that we'll still be within the certification envelope, the maximum limit by the FARs. We've tested in the cabin, which is another factor. You've got your neighbors and then the pilots. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, the pilots have to put up with it more than the neighbors. And our cabin noise is between the same and 1 decibel to 1.5 decibels louder, depending on the kind of power setting we're looking at. Now, that's well within the realm of reason. We do know when you add a muffler, you take away power. So we bring power in on one side in efficiency and take it away on the other, and then you've basically got a zero-sum game, and we don't want to do that. So there is some margin, and there may be some exhaust technology options down the road that provide that. But in truth, the propeller is usually the loudest part of the plane. So the answer really is to back off on the prop RPM and let the exhaust operate the engine as efficiently as it can.
How far do you see this product line expanding in time? Are there any lower volume aircraft out there that might be candidates for this?
Yes, we are. In fact, right now, you know, we're constantly in a state of R&D. We've got several projects kind of waiting in the wings. We are in the middle of doing a certification on, of all things, an R-22 helicopter. Because the older R-22, the O-320 helicopter, there aren't that many of those out there. One of the reasons that they went to an O360 engine is because when it gets really hot, you can't fly the R-22. Well, add the power flow in and your reserve suddenly just jumped up and you can utilize the aircraft. Now, that's a low volume for us. We are also talking about and looking at, you know, our airplanes such as, you know, the 180 Comanche. The Husky is looking like an interesting candidate. So we are trying to broaden it because we are funded by ourselves. We do have to go where the dollars meet the equation enough. But we really will consider most markets as long as there's enough initial entrance. For example, in the Bonanza market here, we're saying when we get 30 deposits, we have a deposit program that we've worked with other programs that work great. We commit to certifying because we know at the end of the day, when we're ready and we deliver the product, we're going to get that many orders. Mm-hmm. Works for them, works for us. And so we are looking at that for other marketplaces. But right now, the certification is such that we can't afford to go into, you know, Rockwell Darter is an example. That's like got 100 of them. Mm-hmm. There's no way I could. Even if all of them bought it, it doesn't make economic sense for us because that same time frame we could be working on, the Cessna 150, where there's 11,000 of them. Even if every 10th guy buys that, that's still more than the Rockwell. So it's a challenge. It takes a lot of bucks to get into the business. And unfortunately, because of the cowling constraints and all of our tubing, it doesn't, one just because it fits one plane doesn't fit the other. We have to redesign it.
Is there maybe a bigger market to be opened if you can find someone to work with you on cowling redesign? That sounds like it would really open some doors.
Well, that is possible. And in fact, if you look at other people in the performance business, Lopresti, working on the Cardinal RG, that's only 1,000 airplanes. They've gone to the market and said, well, gosh, you guys, would you like a new cowling? Yeah. One of their design constraints was it better work with the power flow because 54 of those people have already bought our exhaust. So they're going to do that. And that is something maybe not for ourselves, but someone like Lopresti, who is more of an expert at the cowling, could work on. But it's economics for them, too. They can't get into below a certain size because it just doesn't pay. It's a challenge in aviation because that certification cost is so large and it's spread amongst so few airplanes. It's just it takes a certain critical mass before it makes sense.
Darren Tillman is the general manager of PowerFlow Systems. And that system for the O320-powered R22 is now available. Find out more at powerflowsystems.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.